यश्वान तंत्र इवाद विजा साधु वीर ग्रस्त हृदयो भक्तायर भक्त जना प्रिया। The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the cores of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All the great stalwart personalities in the universe, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully under the control of His devotee. Why is this? Because the devotee is anyabilasita-sunya. In other words, he has no material desires in his heart. His only desire is to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to serve Him best. Because of this transcendental qualification, the Supreme Lord is extremely favorable to the devotees. Indeed, not only the devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Bhayeche Keva. Without being a devotee of a devotee, one cannot be released from material entanglement. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as Gopi Bharatu Padakamalayoradas Adas Anudas. Thus he instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servant of Krishna. Devotees like Brahma, Narada, Vyasdev, and Shukadev Goswami are directly servants of Krishna. And one who becomes a servant of Narada, Vyasdev, and Shukadev, like the six Goswamis, is still more devoted. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur therefore says, Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasada. If one very sincerely serves the spiritual master, Krishna certainly becomes favorable to such a devotee. Following the instructions of a devotee is more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The great yogi Durvasa Muni is being enlightened in the glories of bhakti, or pure devotional service. Devotional service is the only means by which one can attract the heart of Lord Sri Krishna. Giriraj Maharaj ki, Haribo, Hare Krishna. Performed such severe tapasya to gain the great powers, and such powers he had. He was so perfected in the yogic process that he could literally go anywhere. We are so limited. We want to go back to Bombay this afternoon. First we all have to crowd and board all these buses. And then we have to get on train. And so many hours. Of course, this particular train is special. It's Vaikuntha Express. But there's nothing but dancing, chanting, and feasting. But still, we have so many limitations. But Duravas, simply through perfecting mantras, he was able to transport his body to any planet in the universe within moments. He could even go beyond this material universe to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. Lord Narayan is here explaining to Durvas that you are in great danger because you have offended my devotee. All of your mystic powers, all of your great, great austerities, they are all ultimately useless if they are not performed in a mood of devotion. Because besides devotion or service, everything else is temporary. Jnana, karma, astanga, all these forms of yoga can only bring us temporary results. Even entrance into the Brahma Jyoti is temporary. Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata. Because it is the eternal nature of the soul. What? Great souls are dear to everyone, even the most fallen. So, where was I? Huh? Everyone has a different opinion where I was. Lucky we have a video, we can replay it. Useless. Because it is the eternal nature of the soul. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. The soul is eternal, and the energy of the soul is to love God and to express that love through bhakti. And everything else is part of an illusion. Therefore, all the other spiritual processes, although they may elevate us through the modes of material nature and even beyond the modes of material nature, only through bhakti are we situated in our eternal position. And because Durvas Muni committed such an offense against Ambarish, he attempted to murder him. The Lord could not tolerate it, because the Lord always protects his devotees. It is his promise. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. And Durvas Muni, even though he was the most powerful of all yogis, he could not protect himself against the wrath of God. And herein, after Durvas fell at the feet of Lord Narayan, surrendering to him, begging for his life to be spared, the Lord said, no one can surrender to me directly. If you want to gain my favor, you must get the favor of my devotee. Because you have offended my devotee, there is no salvation except the shelter of that devotee's lotus feet. And he is explaining here, because he is eternally under the control of his devotee. And the devotee is so dear to the Lord that anyone even associating with that devotee becomes very dear to the Lord. in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. So many wonderful examples of this were given to confirm this most sacred principle. Srivas Pandit was a great devotee. He was always chanting the holy names, and he was willing to risk everything to chant the holy names. He and his brothers, they would have kirtan each night in their house, and practically all the citizens of Navadvipa, they hated them. People were so materialistic, they were so atheistic, that they were constantly threatening them, criticizing, blaspheming in every possible way. What type of nonsense? They were making false accusations that Srivas Pandit, he chants all night with his doors locked with his devotees. We know what they're doing. They're having illicit sex with women. They're drinking strong liquors and wines. They're intoxicating. They're having terrible, terrible sinful activities. And yet they want to guise themselves as great devotees chanting the holy names. And this was the propaganda that was spread all over Navadvipa about them by the atheistic class, and even by the Brahmins, who were so proud of their Brahminical knowledge and their birth that they had no appreciation for the simple principles of love and devotion. They would threaten that this Srivas, he's making so much noise that the Mughal rulers, they will become so offended by this that they will come and they will plunder our whole village. They will put us all in prison. They will burn all of our property. And it is all because of Srivas. He's going to be called, he's the cause of death of all of us. Therefore, better we take his whole house and uproot it and throw it in the Ganges. And he's chanting so many of the names of God, but what is God giving him? They are all beggars. They are all parasites to society. We are all so wealthy. We have so much prestige. What do they have? What is the use of all their chanting? So Srivas and his brothers and the other devotees, they were very sorry, but yet they understood the will of the Lord. So they went on in the humble service of the Lord. And each night, despite what anyone said, they would raise their arms and chant the holy name. One such offender was Gopal Chapala. Gopal Chapala decided that I am going to once and for all ruin the reputation of Srivas Pandit. I am going to make him look terrible in the eyes of the world. So one night, while the kirtan was going on, Gopal Chapala placed all of the paraphernalia for a type of puja that is terribly in the mode of ignorance. He placed wine and flesh and blood and all sorts of other things in a particular way according to how to worship goddess Chandi. And early in the morning, when the sun was rising, Gopal Chapala called people together and said, "Just see Srivas Pandit. He makes such a big show of being a great Vaishnava, but look what he's really doing. He's performing this terrible worship in the mode of ignorance." And Srivas, when he saw all the paraphernalia, he welcomed everybody. "Please come see. I want to show you what I'm really doing at night. You all think I'm a great devotee, but actually, this is the type of worship I do." He said like that. He didn't try to defend himself. If Krishna wants to ruin your reputation, then it only makes you more humble. It's a wonderful opportunity. And if Krishna wants to protect your reputation, no one can destroy it. So Srivas was not concerned with his own egoistic prestige. He was only concerned with pleasing Krishna. And he knew, what is the greatest pleasure to Krishna? Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirataniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass. To be more tolerant than the tree. To be ready to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. In this way we could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And because Srivas had these most glorious qualities, he was chanting the holy names of Krishna constantly. So the innocent people of Navadvip, they understood that Srivas is innocent, that this was a rascal plot to assassinate his character. Although Srivas did not try to defend himself, the other Vaishnavas and pious people, they completely cleansed his front lawn and they washed it with the cow dung to make it pure. Meanwhile, this Gopal Chapala, due to the reaction to this offense, within days he contracted a most terrible, excruciating form of leprosy. His fingers melted, his nose melted, his toes melted, all of his flesh became shriveled, and his every part of his body was racked in pain and unbearable agony. And because he contracted such a deadly and contagious disease, he was kicked out of the town of Navadvip, and he had to sleep and live like a beggar on the outskirts of the town near the bank of the Ganges. He lost everything. He tried to gain recognition and fame for himself by defaming a devotee, but the devotee became more famous for being so humble, and he lost everything. And he suffered and suffered. And one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to be walking along the bank of the Ganges. And Gopal Chapala saw him, and he actually was in a mood of great desperation. And he fell at the feet of Lord Gauranga. And with tears flowing from his eyes, he prayed, "Please relieve me of this pain. I cannot bear it any longer. I'm suffering so terribly. Please, I take shelter of you. I surrender to you. I'll become your devotee. Please spare me. Please deliver me." And when Lord Chaitanya heard him and saw him, he became so furious, so angry, like a bolt of lightning. And he began with a very loud and wrathful voice to speak. "Because you have offended my devotee, I will not deliver you. Rather, I curse you, that you will suffer the same type of agony and misery in a hellish condition for tens of millions of births with no relief." And then Lord Gauranga walked away. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful of all incarnations. But this is the type of mercy he gives to those who offend his devotees. So some more time went on, and Gopal Chapala remained in that situation. And on another occasion, Lord Chaitanya was walking by the Ganges, And Gopal approached him. And this time, he had another realization. He said, I realize that your devotee is so dear to you and I have offended him. I am so sorry. What can I do to make up for this offense? What can I do? And Lord Chaitanya said, you must beg the forgiveness of Srivas. Then you can be delivered. According to the Chaitanya Mangala, Srivas was so anxious when he heard from Lord Chaitanya that this person was suffering so much. Srivas himself ran to the place to give his forgiveness to Gopal Chapala. And Gopal Chapala fell at his feet and begged forgiveness, weeping. And when he atoned for the offense in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so pleased that not only did he give him a whole healthy body once again, but he gave him entrance into the loving service of his devotees. To become the devotee of a devotee is the most exalted position in all of creation. This is the verdict and the conclusion of all of the scriptures. We are speaking of Srivas. On one occasion, during the bathing ceremony of Lord Chaitanya, there was a maidservant in his house. Her name was Dukhi, because she was basically always quite miserable. And while the devotees were bathing Lord Chaitanya, they were bringing water from the Ganges in vessels. She was organizing the vessels very nicely just to assist the devotees. And when Lord Chaitanya saw that she was humbly trying to serve Srivas and the Vaishnavas, even though she had no knowledge, she had no culture, she had nothing, but she was just trying to assist, he looked upon her and he said, from this day on, your name will be Shuki. And as he said those words, in her heart awakened ecstatic love of God, prema bhakti. On another occasion in Srivas's house, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine form, not only to Srivas, but to all of the servants at the house of Srivas. He wanted to show that anyone who is associating favorably and connected to my devotee will get my special mercy. The qualification, the quality of who they're serving is their qualification. Srila Prabhupada told us the same thing. We asked Srila Prabhupada, what is our qualification for what you have given us? The people of the West and people of the East these days are so irreligious, so fallen, so unqualified, yet we're given entrance into the loving service of Radha and Krishna. We're being given entrance into the world of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel, the essence, the cream of all the Vedic literatures. Srila Prabhupada said that you have no qualifications. I have created all of your qualifications. This means just by becoming dear to a devotee, just by having the association of devotee, that is our qualification. And if we accept the kindness, the love, and the mercy of such a great soul, then our life will certainly be always guided by Krishna and protected by Krishna. Krishna consciousness means. To understand the value of the association of Vaishnavas, and also to understand the danger of offending great Vaishnavas. We have seen in Chaitanya Lila, even if a dog becomes dear to a devotee, the Lord sends him back home, back to Godhead. There are so many examples. So somehow or other, to strive to become dear to the devotees is the greatest aspiration that we should have in our lives. We should not have the audacity to try to approach Krishna directly. Because even if we do, Krishna will not care for us. Duravas Muni approached Krishna directly. But all the Lord could do is tell him, take shelter of my devotee. Surrender to my devotee. I will reveal myself accordingly. So Giriraj Maharaj, a very wonderful devotee who is so dear to Srila Prabhupada, is with us today. Giriraj Maharaj performed so many wonderful, wonderful services to Srila Prabhupada. He's literally an ocean of remembrances of his personal experiences with Srila Prabhupada. We should know that Srila Prabhupada's personal association is in his books. Everything, absolutely everything that we need to know is within his books. And he is fully manifesting his divine presence through the instructions of his books. So even if we have not physically or personally seen him or spoken to him, there is absolutely no obstruction to our spiritual progress, because everything is there. But in spiritual life, variegatedness creates great sweetness. To actually have the Bapu, the personal association with the great soul, is something very wonderful. But most important is, by our being fixed in his vani, we have to learn how to properly take that personal association. Because many, many, many of Srila Prabhupada's very, very close personal associates are not very active in Krishna, in serving Srila Prabhupada at the particular time. Because although they may have been sentimentally attached to his physical association, they were not willing to continue to surrender to his instructions. And no doubt that those devotees are on their way back to Godhead by the causeless mercy of the Acharya. There is a detour, and they may not be setting a very proper example in the service of Guru Maharaj today. But those who had such wonderful association and at the same time adhered very carefully to the dust of his lotus feet in the form of his instructions, they are very special souls amongst us. Because when they speak of their own personal experiences with Guru Maharaj, through their vani, we could actually experience that same association with Srila Prabhupada. There is no difference. When Giriraj Maharaj speaks about what Prabhupada spoke to him or what he saw Prabhupada doing, as he's speaking, that pastime is being reenacted on the spiritual platform, and anyone who hears it with faith is a participant of that pastime. in the association of the Lord and his devotees. That is the beauty of spiritual consciousness. In the spiritual realm, there is no limitations of time or space. Through sound vibration, we can transcend all the barriers of this mortal world. Through the name of Krishna, we can transcend all of the layers of this material existence. Covering this universe is layers, millions of miles of layers of earth, and then water, and then you have to penetrate through the water into vast, vast ocean of fire. And then after passing through that layer, we go into a vast, vast ocean of air, and then space. And then we approach the Viraja, the barrier between the spiritual and material worlds. And to cross that is very difficult. And then we enter into the Brahma Jyoti, and we have to rise up through this unlimited spiritual sky into the Paravyoma, until we can reach the planet of the Lord, the Vaikunthas. And then we have to go beyond all the millions and millions and millions of Vaikunthas to approach Goloka Vrindavan. So it is very difficult to achieve from a physical level. Durvasa Muni was able to reach Vaikuntha by tremendous amount of austerities to attain mystic powers. But through transcendental sound, because there is no barriers of time and space, just by chanting the holy names, we can directly have our consciousness at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Just by hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, we are actually given entrance into that lila. We are not just a witness, we are a participant through sound. But these realizations are revealed to us according to our faith, according to our sincerity, and according to our surrender. So when we hear faithfully the beautiful stories of Krishna or his pure devotees, we are given that association. So we are so fortunate. Maharaj is here. He has come especially to tell us some nice stories about Srila Prabhupada and give us the divine personal association of Srila Prabhupada. And of course, to be the servant of the servant of the servant is the most sacred principle of Vaishnava philosophy. If we become dear to the servants, we become dear to the Lord. And as we are dear to the Lord, he reveals everything to us according to his own inconceivable sweet will. Maharaj, please say something for the pleasure of the devotees.
We were in the garden of some rich man's house in Bombay. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting on a seat like Radhanath Swami with a microphone in front of him. Now, at the time, we only knew a few festivals that Srila Prabhupada had given us, like Gaur Purnima, Balaram's Appearance Day, Janmashtami, Radhastami, Nityananda's Appearance Day. But when we got to India, people started saying there are so many holidays. So on the particular day that we were sitting in the garden with Srila Prabhupada, we heard that today is some Hindu holiday. So one of the devotees came up to Srila Prabhupada and asked him that, Srila Prabhupada, people say that today is such and such day. Is today really a holiday? Because we didn't have faith in anyone except Srila Prabhupada, so we wanted to confirm everything with him. So is today really a holiday? And Srila Prabhupada replied that for us, every day is a holiday because we are Krishna's servants. So I think I thought of the incident not only because of the setting, which is similar, but because in the presence of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, every day is a holiday, a holy day and a festival. Somehow another incident comes to mind, somewhat similar in the sense that we were new in India and we did not know how to take things. But there was one lady devotee, kirtan singer in Vrindavan. She had her ashram and she was quite popular with some people. And she used to do kirtan, and she used to show signs of ecstasy. Rolling on the ground, or I'm not sure, crying and wailing or whatever. So some devotees were not sure how to understand her. So they asked Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada replied that she is a devotee. Our Krishna consciousness goes forward on two tracks, just like the railway cars go forward on two tracks. So he said there should be kirtan. There must be kirtan. But there should also be philosophy. If there's only kirtan without philosophy, then the train may be derailed. It may end up in the ditch. So Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas in the disciplic line have given us both very strongly. There must be kirtan, chanting of the holy names, and there must also be discussion of the transcendental science. Then, by the combination of both, we can go forward very nicely, like a train on two tracks. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has written that religion without philosophy is just sentiment, or perhaps fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is just mental speculation. So we don't want to be dry speculators, but at the same time we don't want to be emotional sentimentalists. We want to be devotees, actual devotees. And actual devotees have both philosophical knowledge and spiritual practices, of which the primary is the chanting of the holy names. So, one other thought which comes to mind about the early days of Srila Prabhupada in India. Srila Prabhupada said that we will not be able to defeat the Indian scholars in debate. He said they know Sanskrit, they know so many shastras, and they know so much word jugglery also. He said, you will not be able to defeat them by argument, but you will be able to defeat them or conquer them. Conquer in the sense, attract them. You will be able to conquer them by your kirtan and by your gentle behavior. So here also I'm seeing practically in His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, both are present, kirtan and gentle behavior. And at least he has been able to conquer some Indians by his kirtan and gentle behavior. And we hope that we can be conquered by him. Radhanath Swami Ki Jai. Now, I will say something about Ki Jai.
He's conquering me. He's conquering me to such an extent that I'm about to flee for my life. You can tell us about Ki Jai.
Yes. Jai. What is the meaning of Jai? Huh? Victory. Yes, Jai means victory. So victory implies that there are two opposing forces, and one is victorious over the other. So when we say, Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Radhanath Ki Jai, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we can say that, yes, Shishi Radha Gopinath should be victorious. Shishi Gornitai should be victorious. Srila Prabhupada should be victorious. But over who? Or over what? We have some enemies with us, like our minds. The mind can be the greatest enemy. The senses can be very big enemies. So when we say Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, we want that Srila Gurudev should be victorious. And he should be victorious over our mind and our senses and our anarthas. Of course, he disposed of them yesterday. But